Please remember, this is an adults-only podcast and does contain some very sensual themes. So please, only listen to this podcast if you are happy to explore your deepest sensual fantasies with me and are of a suitable age. Hi, it's Devlin, and welcome to another episode of Wild in Bed, your Monday night destination for salacious stories, sensual satisfaction, and finger-licking good fantasies. Now, as you enjoy part two of Rodeo Queen, you can know you can enjoy even more intense pleasure and unlimited satisfaction by coming to see me at wilddesires.com, where you can test ride your own free experiential fantasies just for coming. Now, you know this podcast is best enjoyed laying on your bed, so just put your earbuds in, close your eyes, loosen any clothing, just in case you want to enjoy your body on a deeper level and surrender to the pleasure of my voice moving over and inside you. And when you're ready, go ahead and take a deep breath and hold it for a moment. And let it go with a sigh, letting go of any tension, any stress. For the next 30 minutes or so, it's just you and my voice. This is your time to relax, your time for sensuous satisfaction, your time to release that inner woman. As you listen to my voice and feel the story moving through your body, as you enjoy part two of Rodeo Queen. Sophie clings to Marcus's arm as she stares out over the rodeo ring, watching riders and horses dance in their violent ballet. She grips his arm a little tighter, wincing at every rider that lands heavily in the sand. Turning to look at him, she whispers, "Isn't there another way we can make a living? This looks too fucking dangerous, Marcus." "It's all right, sweetheart. I bounce well," he says gently, smiling. Punching him on his arm as heavily as she can, she scowls, "That does not help." He leans down, kissing her on the forehead. "Honestly, sweetheart, I'll be fine. This isn't my first rodeo, you know," he says, running his fingers through her hair and pulling her head against his strong chest. "So where's Drew?" she asks, trying to take her mind from the carnage happening just feet away. "Oh, he'll be up shortly. They've got steer wrestling and tie-down roping before they get to the saddle broncos. It'll be an hour or so before he shows up." "Let's get away from the ring for a moment, Marcus. It's stressing me more than a little," she whimpers. "Of course, little lady," he says, dipping his Stetson in an exaggerated manner, grinning widely. "My very own hunky cowboy." She smiles at him as he takes her hand, leading her from the wooden bench. The chaos of the rodeo ring becomes a little more than confusion of sound as they walk away. She turns to him and asks, "Is there anywhere private we can go?" Her hand drifting down to his thigh. "At the moment, there'll be somewhere quieter around by the stables," he says, leading her away from the crowds. Finding an empty stable, he pulls the door open, guiding her inside, full of nothing but hay bales and a lone saddle languishing over a bell. "This is a small event, so they don't use these stables. They just store the kit in them that's in the way elsewhere," he says, watching her. "Well, if my hunk of a cowboy is going to risk life and limb to pay the bills, I want to make sure he knows just how much I appreciate him," she whispers, kissing him on his lips as her fingers trace up his denim-clad thigh. "I'm going to have to take a rain check on that, sweetheart. No sex before the rodeo. I need my mind focused, he says sternly, trying to remain resolute. Crestfallen, Sophie turns away, resisting the urge to pout. She walks slowly over to the saddle, tracing her fingers over the styled leather, she says. You know, I've never seen an actual saddle up close. It's very artistic, all the stitching and embossing. Her fingers moving to the front of the saddle, caressing the protrusion of firm leather, she turns and smiles at Marcus before asking coyly, and what's this bit called? Holding his gaze. That's the horn, he says as evenly as he can manage, as her hand slides up and down the solid leather. Well, I think that's rather appropriate, she giggles, as she strokes the horn firmly. Her eyes never leaving his, turning, she faces the saddle, pushing her hand along its length, feeling the smooth leather caressing her palms before leaning forward. And without turning back, saying, you know, I might just have forgotten to wear my panties, in her best seductive voice, knowing that her short pleated skirt was riding high enough to give Marcus a front row view of the delights that lay beneath. Marcus clenches his hands tightly, feeling the blood drain from his fists, and apparently making a direct line to his cock, which was already swelling rampantly beneath his jeans. Deftly, turning on a heel and swinging one leg over the saddle, Sophie lifts herself up, the sudden kiss of the warm leather against her pussy forcing a moan from her lips, which, although unplanned, was perfectly timed. Well, if you won't help a girl in distress, I guess I'll have to ride this one alone, she said, her voice mocking innocence, as she starts to move her hips along the leather. Despite her intended teasing, it was surprising how arousing it was to feel the embroidered leather rubbing at her clit. Just so you know what's waiting for you when you come back to me. And you are coming back to me, Marcus. Grasping the horn, Sophie pulls herself forward as her feet find the stirrups, and then pushing herself back along the leather again. Fuck, this feels better than she had ever imagined, her pace quickening, the orgasm rising uncontrollably through her body as her thighs tense hard onto the saddle. Pushing down with her feet, her clit rubs hard up the horn as her body explodes in delight. Gasping, she turns to Marcus, trying to regain her breath as she whimpers. Wow, we need a saddle for the house, Marcus. That was awesome. Can you help me get off? My legs feel a little wobbly right now, she asks, unsure if she can stand unaided. Marcus puts a strong arm around her, lifting her from the saddle, steadying her as her feet shakily touch the ground. Gently she sits on the bale, gathering her composure, Marcus's arm still around her. Seriously, Marcus, come back safe to me. I don't want you hurt out there, she whispers sincerely, holding the tears in her eyes back. Stroking his thigh, she continues, let's rest here for a few minutes. That was pretty intense. Before we go off and find Drew. Okay, sweetheart, Marcus says simply, his mind elsewhere. Eventually leaving the stable, they set off in search of Drew, this man Sophie has heard so much about, yet never even seen one photo of, let alone met the man. It might have been 20 minutes or more of pushing through the crowds before Marcus says, there he is, excitedly waving his arm in the air to attract attention. Too short to see above the crowds, Sophie's anticipation is prolonged until they break through a group of cowboys to face an older man grinning at them both. It was all she could do to hold back a gasp. He's gay, she thought. What a waste. He looked the spitting image of Robert Redford, his eyes, his demeanor, that easy smile. Damn, if she was single, she would have had a good shot at turning him. Marcus and Drew wrapped their arms around each other, pulling each other in close. She could taste the electricity between them. Damn, if she wasn't turned on just thinking about them together. After the longest moment, they release each other, and Marcus turns to Sophie, saying, "And this is Sophie, Drew, my wife, a love of my life." Sophie notices how he emphasized the love. "Probably for her benefit," she muses. Putting her hand out, she starts to say, "A pleasure to meet you," before his arms surround her, lifting her so high off the ground that she thinks she might be sick. "So you're the lady that whisked him away from the circuit. Damn, am I happy to meet you, Sophie." Drew bellows, before dropping her back to the ground. Facing Marcus again, Drew says with seriousness dripping from every word, "Where the fuck have you been, Marcus? You need to get your butt registered and ready. Show starts in 30 minutes. "Oh, fuck," Marcus curses. "Sophie, can you find a seat? I need to get myself situated." Smiling back at him, she responds, "Go, make us some money. And remember the real prize after." Watching the pair of cowboys push their way to the registration booth, she could not help but smile. There was something about watching the pair of them together that was so much fun. Making her own way through the crowds, ignoring the cursing as she elbows several men out of her way, she eventually makes it to the spectator area, before grabbing a beer and finding a seat, not too close to the action. The next 30 minutes seem to drag for an eternity. Sophie focuses exclusively on the beer cup in her hand, not daring to look at what is happening in the ring, for fear of bringing all her concerns back to life. Eventually, the announcer calls Marcus's name, dragging her from her mental isolation, forcing her to look toward the ring for the first time since sitting down. She squeezes the beer cup tightly, beer spilling over her legs. She could see Marcus on a horse that was frankly going mental, and it hadn't even been released yet. What the crap was he doing? Why wouldn't he let her get a job? They could manage. A tirade of thoughts and worries cascades through her mind. A large siren sounds, and the gate holding Marcus and the horse away from the ring crashes open, allowing the horse to explode into the ring, violently throwing itself and Marcus 7 ways to hell and back. The seconds drag into hours as horse and rider ricochet around the ring. Another siren. "That's it, Marcus. You can stop now," she whispers, stress audible in her voice. Eventually, Marcus jumps from the horse, landing unsteadily on the sound. Sophie allows herself a sigh of relief. But then the horse turns, leaping again and knocking Marcus to the ground. Sophie leaps to her feet, staring at his still body on the ground, rushing forward. She just knows she had to get to him. Before she was anywhere near the ring, the paramedics were surrounding him and moving him into an ambulance. As she reaches the ringside, the ambulance disappears through the large wooden gates of the ring, and Drew is stood in front of her. "What the fuck happened, Drew?" she screams, tears burning at her cheeks. "Honey, it's probably precautionary. Rodeo organizers don't like too many injuries to be visible in the ring. It's bad for business," he said, his voice level and serious. "I'll get you to the hospital, and we'll see what's what." Despite the rage burning through her body toward this man that had brought this upon them, she knew she was in no fit state to drive. She eventually succumbed to her better judgment and agreed. The journey to the hospital was silent. Despite everything she wanted to say to Drew, she hadn't realized how many slow drivers there were in the city, or how many roadworks, delay after delay, stopping her from getting to see her Marcus, to know he was okay. When eventually they make it to the hospital, Sophie does not even wait for Drew to stop completely, before leaping from the 4x4, speeding in through the main entrance, and asking where Marcus is. The attendant checked records on the computer, all too slowly in Sophie's opinion, and uttered something which she thought she heard. Helpfully, they gave her directions where he was, which seemed to make it through to the fog of panic that clouded her mind. The next 20 minutes of searching the hospital rooms for Marcus proved that this was not the case. By the time she found him, Drew was already stood by his bedside. "Damn this man!" Before she can say a word, Drew focuses in on Sophie and says, "He's okay. It looked a whole lot worse than it is. Nothing worse than a few bruises and a headache and a dented ego." Sophie stares at him, not quite believing what she was hearing. Finally, her body sags with relief. "Thank fuck for that," she says. "Listen, I need to go call the rodeo organizer, as I left before I was due on, and explain what happened. I'll be just outside if you need anything. And I'll make sure you're not disturbed by the hospital staff," Drew says, as he eyes the bulge beneath Marcus's gown, ignoring him completely. Sophie says to Marcus, "You scared the shit out of me. I hope you know that." "Ah, sweetheart, it really is just a few bruises," he whispers. "Exactly where are these bruises, then?" she asks, curious about the extent of his damage, moving his gown off his shoulder, exposing an angry purple and black bruise. Sophie cannot help but lean in to kiss it, her lips gently caressing Marcus's skin as he moans, moving his gown again. A bruise on his ribs is exposed. Sophie moves her lips down, kissing it gently, aware of his cock tenting his hospital gown. "Anywhere else?" she whispers through her kisses. Marcus moves the gown aside to show a large bruise on the top of his thigh, kissing his thigh tenderly, her lips brushing over the angry mark, his cock throbbing underneath the gown, becoming firmer as Sophie's lips move higher up his thigh, her fingers caressing his balls as she kisses up his firm shaft, her tongue gently circling the tip of his cock as she looks up at him, whispering, "Need anything else?" "Oh, fuck, I do." Sophie climbs up on his bed, her legs either side of him as she grasps his erection between her fingers, teasing its tip along her clit, before impaling herself onto him, gasping to control her breath as she feels his entire length pushed deep into her needy pussy, needing to confirm he's okay, needing to feel him warm and alive, needing him to fuck her. As she rides his cock, sliding her pussy up and down his entire length, her lips stretched around his girth, images of him with Drew flicker through her mind, of him sucking Drew's hard cock. And as she imagines Marcus's lips sliding up and down Drew's cock, she rides him even harder, more intensely, feeling the pulsing moving through her pussy, imagining his hand clutching at Drew's balls, massaging them as he takes his entire length deep into his throat, hearing Drew moan loudly as his fingers move through Marcus's hair, thrusting his erection even deeper into his mouth. Loudly she moans, "Takes Drew's cock all the way inside your mouth, Marcus." Realizing suddenly that this was not in the quiet of her mind, she opens her eyes, Marcus looking at her with even greater desire, his pelvis thrusting even harder into her pussy. "You want that, sweetheart?" he gasps between thrusts, unable to deny it anymore. "Yes," she moans. "Drew," Marcus calls out, before Sophie can say another word. Drew is by the bedside again. Marcus gasps, "Your cock, I need to suck your cock." Without needing another request, Drew releases his quivering erection from his pants. Marcus grasps it urgently before sliding his lips up and down the shaft. Watching it sends trembles of pleasure through Sophie's body, her pussy clutching frantically at Marcus's cock. Drew clutches Marcus's hair in tight balls as his body tenses, a moan rising through his chest. his head tilting back, a sign all too obvious to Sophie as Drew thrusts hard into Marcus's mouth. Marcus's cock explodes inside her as her pussy clutches hard at his pulsing erection, releasing her own intense orgasm. Placing her hands on Marcus's chest to steady herself, surprised by her own lack of inhibition, she looks at the two men before her. Her next idea is so filthy it surprises her. I want to ride your mouth, Marcus. Lick your cum out of my pussy. Sliding up his body, she lowers her pussy onto his waiting tongue, feeling him viciously licking at her still throbbing clit. As it starts to clutch again, she grabs Drew's cock and slides her hand up and down it viciously, pumping every last drop of cum as it pulses over Marcus's face. Seeing Drew's white cream dripping down Marcus's chin just intensifies the sensations inside her body as she explodes in another orgasm. Sitting back, she whispers, "Drew, kiss Marcus. Clean all that cum from his lips." Eagerly, Drew kisses every drop of cum from Marcus's face before kissing him deeply. Damn, if this wasn't a whole new fantasy being played out right in front of her. Eventually, Sophie climbs off Marcus, straightening her skirt and moving a little unsteadily to an easy chair in the corner. Drew puts his semi-erect cock back inside his pants, and Marcus pulls his gown back over himself. The room was awkwardly quiet for a moment, no one knowing quite what to say. It was Drew that broke the silence. "Oh, by the way, you won. You can go and pick your winnings up whenever you're ready." "How the hell does that work?" Sophie asked. "He was always in control of the horse, Sophie. The ring hand should have got the reins, but he didn't. Guess they're just happy Marcus isn't suing them." "Wow. Guess that sets me up then. Might even buy us a saddle before next rodeo," Marcus says, grinning at Sophie like a Cheshire cat. "We'll talk about that when we get home," Sophie says, glaring at Marcus, not quite sure what she is feeling about rodeos right now. Just the deep sensation of satisfaction embracing her body. Now, I hope you've enjoyed that little story. Now, next week, obviously a new story. And on Friday, Lamb to the Slaughter returns. And things are going to get a lot darker there. You just know it, don't you? So I look forward to seeing you in bed on Friday when we can get wild again. But for now, and always with your pleasure in mind, this is Devlin Wild, wishing you salacious dreams. Now, as you have enjoyed this show this evening, you can go ahead and subscribe to my podcast so you don't miss another salacious episode. And you know you can go ahead and visit me at wilddesires.com and grab your own free experiential erotic story just for coming.